And with that, let's get straight into our feature. Yeah, starting early because we have six pieces of music and an interview that was, at least for me, way too interesting to chop up. And I want to get it all in before we're done. We are about to hear the almost full band, the High Desert Playboys, as recorded in Studio A on the earlier this week, recorded on Thursday night in Studio A by Ethan Stein with assistance of Chip Borton and Ramon Garcia. They were celebrating the release of Country Songs for Your Trip to Mars, which they will be doing a week from now at Tractor Wells Park on the 28th evening performance. They've speculated they might just play the album straight on through. They didn't do that for us, but they played from the album and had a pretty remarkable session and, by all accounts, pretty good time doing it. So let's get right to it with Ethan Stein behind the console. The High Desert Playboys are, for this performance, Clark Andrew Libby on vocals, guitar, and harmonica, Christian Rad on electric violin and vocals, Jeff Wilson on upright bass, Ryan Goodhue on keyboards and vocals, Mikey Hale on drums and vocals, Kara Hames as fifth Beatle. So with Clark Andrew Libby leading the group and talking us through, and we'll be talking to him in about a half hour's time, let's go right into Studio A and hear the performance of the High Desert Playboys right here on Ear to the Ground.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We're the High Desert Playboys. This is our first song on the album. It's called Like I Never Seen the Sun. And hope you enjoy it.
Soul's magic words in the prelude to the fall. Don't know where to find the door. Lying in the dark, waiting for your call. So baby, please let me come home. I've lost everything. I'm tired of being a alone. Let the angels on your shoulders talk you down. Talk to me like I'm one of them, like I've never seen the sun. When I look at you, I know why I've been. That you're the only one. So baby, please let me come home. I've lost everything. I'm tired of being alone. Let the angels on your shoulder talk you down.
Down.
not sure they're gone. Sweet oh God, I've tried to wish you well. Now I'm done. Let me come home. I've lost everything. I'm tired of being alone. Let the angels on your shoulder talk you down.
The single, I suppose, single off the album. We have a video out on Slow Start Records with this song, so if you want to go check out their website, you can go see the whole video. I get to be an actor in the video. Actually, everybody else is in the video too, but I get to actually do
it. We're not acting.
You're not acting. You're just playing. You're acting like you're musicians.
We're acting like we're musicians.
Yeah. So, but our friend James Hitchcock did the video for us. It's very nice. You should check it out. And as I said, it's up on Slow Start Records, as the rest of the record is at this point. So... we will be having the CD release party a week from tonight. So, a week from tonight on September 28th at Tractor Wells Park. So you can come out. I think we're going to do the whole album. I think we talked about doing the whole album in a row. I think we're going to do like the whole thing. So, should be kind of fun. So this is the single off the album. This is the one you're supposed to like. So you should really like this song. It's called "I'm Broken Down."
One. 2, 3.
It's a metaphor. It's not like it's not a story about a real thing. I made it up in my head, which is a fun thing about songwriting. You get to make up stuff in your head. I firmly believe that if you can write a story about something and get the emotions that you want out that way, that's better than just telling everybody how you're feeling. So this song is I don't know, wrote it a while back. It's about the French Revolution. There's some speculation that there was, there's some speculation that the grain, there was some grain outside of Paris, that this grain surplus outside of Paris right before the French Revolution started that might have had a mold on it, and that mold might have affected the way people acted. So why don't I maybe leave it at that? And so when everybody was all angry about everything with Paris and, you know, the aristocrats and they let them eat cake and all that sort of thing, they started eating this grain with this mold on it, and they might have started acting funny, you know, and they might have started acting like they might want to tear down the Bastille and stuff like that. And I thought it was a good metaphor for some things that have been going on today. So it's called The Night That the City Hall Burned. You're never around. The closets, they all have their monsters, servants by their sides to assist. All the raincoats in the hangers can't stop the demons in the mist. The night that the city hall burned, kings were all dead, made new ones instead. The demons, they all made their returns, in spite of all those who had spurned them. Heroes all said, can't get out of bed. The heroes all said, can't get out of bed. Night the city hall burned. Make-believe murders and visions, the walls and their fences and their divisions. Dilettantes dancing in the moonlight, chosen ones full of intentions, will all have their nights, all have their times in detention. That the city hall burned, lost all the lessons we learned. The kings were all dead, made new ones instead. Demons, they all made their returns, in spite of all those who had spurned them. Heroes all said, can't get out of bed. All said, can't get out of bed.
The heroes all said, can't get out of bed. It's one of the lines from that latest song we heard. You're listening to the High Desert Playboys, recorded live this Thursday night in Studio A. Let's get back to the performance. There's an interview with their leader, Clark Andrew Libby, to come in a little bit, but let's get back into the studio for more from the High Desert Playboys.
This next song is kind of about, I don't know how folks feel out there, but I myself find that I am compelled to be a generator, kind of a person that's always generating things and making stuff and pushing everybody. I know this band always, I'm always pushing these guys to, got to go out and get on, get out to shows and...
A real slave driver.
I'm a slave driver. I'm kind of a mean guy. I know I sound really nice on the radio, but... I am the worst, yeah. Especially to Kristen, I'm really mean to her.
I mean, really, like, I don't think I can even handle being in this band anymore.
Yeah, well, you guys are going to witness the breakup of the band here on the radio. But,
live
on KUNM 89.9 FM. So I kind of feel like I always have to be doing something and being impressive and, you know, kind of making feel like I'm, people feel like I'm like a active and, you know, creative person. And every once in a while, you just turn around and you realize you're absolutely exhausted and you just have nothing left to create with. And I'm kind of learning more and more as I get a little older as maybe that's okay to take a rest every once in a while. So this song is kind of about that, kind of about that day when you just turn around and you realize you're just tired. So, and it's called Wishing Well.
I'm overwhelmed, underpaid, waiting for my arrangements made. Overtime and out of rhymes, looking for signs of better times. All my wishes have gone down the well, all my pennies are gone. I know you're worried, I know you can tell how I know that you won. That you won. Overdone, underseen, wishing I could just cause a scene. And all my hopes and all my dreams, all the signs that aren't what they seem. All my wishes have gone down the well, pennies are gone. Though you're worried, I know you can tell how I know that you're done. That you're done.
I don't know what I can say about this next song. Somebody tell me about this next song. It's called I Really Don't Want To. I guess it's just a love song, I think. It's about being broken. I think there's a lot of theme on this album about feeling like you're a broken person and always trying to put up that front like you're not broken all the time. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. I always try to write about things that people can relate to. So something I think about a lot is like, if you're a broken person, are you breaking all the other people around you? You know what I mean? So
the nice part about Mikey, the thing that I like about this song is that it's you're not very melodramatic most of the time. So
no, I am not. On this song, I am exceptionally melodramatic.
Well, you're still you're your own brand of melodramatic.
Yes.
So it's not I can't live without you.
It's I can live.
It's I can live without you, but I really don't want to.
That's right.
And everybody can relate to that.
Yes, I think that's true. I think that I do like to be a little melodramatic every once in a while. So gotta have your occasional country anthem. Which is what I believe this is.
This is the Tear in the Beer song.
This is the Tear in the Beer song, that's right. It's a waltz, so hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening. I don't know if everyone probably introduced the band already, but Kristen Rad's been playing violin, Jeff Wilson's been playing bass, Ryan Goodhue's been playing piano, and Mikey Hale's been playing drums. Missing member today is Mr. Bud Melvin. We love you, Bud. He's just not here today, and he usually plays pedal steel for us and his occasional banjo, so... Look out for us all over the place. We play all over Albuquerque and all over New Mexico. So. And the song's called I Really Don't Want To. In the mirror, like what I've seen, judgment's getting nearer, don't feel that clean, wishing I was better, gears are rusted and green, mechanisms shudder. Broken machine, hold on tight. The worst times come in the moonlight. Could have been right. I don't run at the
are getting their first taste of the High Desert Playboys in this session. When they go to your album, Country Songs for Your Trip to Mars.
Yes, Country Songs for Your Trip to Mars, yes.
They're going to have a very different sonic experience. And
from most albums, I think so, yeah.
And this was this the first album you recorded for Slow Start?
This is the first album I've recorded for Slow Start Records. They're out of San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
A fantastic label. They've been super supportive and they've been really helpful.
So when you got in touch with them and they said, "Yeah, we want an album," and you said, "Okay, we're going to use one mic and do it live."
Well, they pretty much let me do whatever I want. I mean, they're very supportive. So we did this with four microphones total.
Okay.
There were four, so it's a little more than one. It was two microphones, like really fancy condensers, you know, stereo mics in the middle of the room. And then we had two other mics reinforcing the vocals. So we could later on bring up the vocals a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But when we practice, we actually don't practice with a PA. We just practice very quietly. And so we played this album in a similar volume so you can actually record it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the old school way to do it. I mean, you kind of, if the drums are too loud, you move the drums back, you know? It's a lot of fun to record that way. There are no overdubs on the record. It's entirely unedited, just, you know, what the sounds were in the room. My friend Sergio Fingato mixed it for us, and, you know, he definitely had to do a lot of work. I gave him a good challenge because most engineers are used to having
everything separated.
Yeah. And there was absolutely nothing separated. This was all, you know, all just thrown in together. And I think it makes a very raw kind of old school country sound.
Yes.
Which I was really going for. I don't think this kind of music needs perfection. I think this kind of music needs that feeling of I'm sitting in this honky tonk with this band and they're just ripping off some songs. And so that's kind of what we were going for. We did 20 songs in 5 hours and kept our favorite 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to take the other six and throw them on the next record.
And
so
that all may be true, but it's nice having gotten to know the album recording to hear this version, because I can hear your lyrical content so much more clearly.
There could be perhaps a complaint about the album is that vocals could be maybe a little louder, clearer, but that's the way it sounds in real life sometimes too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not real ashamed of that. There will be, I think, somewhere out on the web, somewhere through Slow Start. I'm not sure exactly where that they're like, actually they've put down the lyrics. But I've never been one to want to put out lyrics too much. I kind of like it when people misinterpret them. I think there's a lot of songs out there famously in the history of the world that we've all misinterpreted.
Oh, we could do that for an hour and
a
half.
Misinterpreted what the actual vocals were. So, but I do, I'm a bit of a story songwriter, so it is nice to be able to hear them somewhat. So I think they're out there somewhere. So
as you said, these are very, very busy musicians.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to presenting it, you were frequently going to be out there in duo with the violinist
Kristen Rad. Yeah,
Kristen Rad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we might be able to see you after the 28th.
Yes, there's a bunch of shows coming up in October that I will have to think of. Generally what we do, you know, we kind of tailor the size of the band to the size of the club.
Right.
So if a place is a bigger place and they want a big full band sound, you know, then I'll bring more guys. If it's just a smaller coffee house situation, you know, we'll do something a little bit less, you know. But, you know, we'll be out at October 6th. We'll be out at the Mineshaft Tavern.
In Madrid. All right.
And that's actually going to be my birthday show. So I'm going to be turning a whopping 47 years old.
Baby.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you Libras.
Yes, I'm right in the middle of Libra, too, which makes me a complete mess as a person. And then on the 27th of October, we'll be at the Canteen Brew House. So there's a couple places you can see us in October. So it just depends on the night. Sometimes we'll be a four-piece. We actually have a mandolin player that steps in every once in a while. Bud Melvin, our pedal steel player, wasn't able to make it tonight. So we've got about six or seven of us.
So has the barnstorming, you know, the Clark all alone in his car going hither and yon.
Slowed down a little bit.
Has that slowed down? Or
it
is,
has. It has. I will
are you relieved by that?
No. Miss it terribly. Okay. You know, it's a financial thing. You have to take breaks from that for a little while. It's not the most profitable thing in the world. So right now I'm working a little bit so I can get some money saved back up again. And honestly, you know, I would love to, you know, not have any other job besides music. And that's, you know, when I was doing solo, it was about 4 years that I was just doing music and I was a solo artist running around. I would spend about 2 weeks, 10 to 14 days of every month out on the road. And then the rest of the time back in town playing with whatever bands that I was in. And I would like to get back to that, you know, that kind of schedule. That's ideal for me. I mean, I'm a much happier person when I'm playing about 20 to 25 shows a month. But yeah.
Let me ask you about releasing content.
Yeah,
there's a band that's been up here a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. Alien Space Kitchen, ASK.
Oh, I like those guys. And I just heard their radio show with them the other day. That's really great. I love those. Well, those guys are really, really great.
They will be back soon enough. But one of the things that they decided to do was, instead of fretting over an album, they would cut it down to 6 songs and just mm-hmm. release EPs maybe every 7 or 8 months.
Yep.
That's not exactly the strategy you're planning on taking forward with this band, but your strategy is not the album, at least
no.
short term.
So there's a couple little background things on that. I actually write a song a week. That's my personal mm-hmm. Assignment to myself. So I have tons of songs and I throw away about half of those. And so that gives me about 26 songs a year that are at least worthy of recording. Then you take that and you really edit that down to the 15 that are really fantastic, that are really the ones that are your favorites. And those are the ones that I think about releasing every year, about 15 songs out of the 52 that I write. Then my goal at this point, because really I think just content in general is king, video content especially, mm-hmm. I'd like to release 2 to 3 singles, maybe 4 a year. Every couple months, just have a single with a video coming out. And then at the end of the year, just make a vinyl record and take those 15 songs or 14 songs, whatever I come up with. And, you know, work on, if somebody wants a physical copy of something at this point, a CD, I don't think really does them all that much good. You can't put a CD in your car anymore half the time. Mm-hmm. You can't put it in your Mac computers, you know.
So when you were doing the solo touring, mm-hmm. you know, merch is where a lot of the money is to be made.
It's
what,
true.
What would your merch have been back then?
Well, I just had CDs. Now? I mean, we're still going to have records. I'll still have this CD and other older CDs. We have shirts as well. Mm-hmm. I think other kind of merch is the kind of the key. I just don't think enough people are buying. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm done making CDs. There might be a couple occasional CDs here and there. Because I have never lost money on a CD. I mean, I've always sold out every one that I've ever made.
Well, so is Sheryl Crow, but she's done with that format
too. I just
too.
Heard that same yeah. interview, and she was talking about how she's never writing an album again. I don't blame her. Really, people just want that one song, and they want to be able to put it on their playlist, and it's all about the Spotify plays and the Pandora plays and all that stuff. So I still want to put out something. I'm still holding on to hope that somebody cares about having a good vinyl record with a song, like, you know, where the order of the songs matters, you know, where you have a side A and a side B. I'm still holding out hope a little bit. So I'm still going to do that, just if nothing else for myself and to fill up the merch table. So we have things, different things for people to buy.
So this song does have a bit of a story to it. I was listening to a podcast with, I'm kind of a podcast junkie. Listen to a podcast with Stephen Hawking on it. And he was talking about SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And he was talking about how they're down at the VLA in Las Cruces, they're sending up signals into outer space looking for aliens. And he, you know, he loves SETI, and we're all, woohoo, science, yay science. And but, you know, he was saying maybe we ought to not look quite so hard, maybe not send quite so many signals out into outer space until we're a little more advanced, because he's figuring, if they can actually make it here, they're probably a lot more advanced than we are, and they're probably going to kick our rear ends and come in and kill us all, basically. And so I thought I'd write a country song about the day that the aliens come to kill us all, because that seemed like that'd be a sad day, at least for most of us. I'm going to survive because I'm going to embrace our alien overlords, but the rest of you will be dead, and that'll be sad. I'll be sad about that. But so there's a couple things to know about this song. One is that towards the end of the song, we're going to have a fight, and me and Ryan, ooh, we outnumber the aliens tonight. So me and Mikey and Jeff are going to be the humans.
Oh, yeah.
And Kristen and Ryan are going to be the aliens.
Go aliens.
And so, no, go humans.
I think we're
aliens.
Still going to win.
No, I don't
you
know.
We always
man.
Win.
We got this.
We'll see how this goes. You're outnumbered tonight. We got 3-2.
Yeah,
so.
But we're aliens.
Don't oh, that's true. And you're more advanced than we are. So, so yeah. We're going to have a little fight at the end, and we'll see who wins that fight. It's, yeah. And then... and then also, there is a little love song snuck in there, too, just because I can't help it because I'm a boy and I'm a songwriter. And boy songwriters almost always slip a love song into something. But there is the love song about the scientist trying to get his girlfriend off the planet so that she survives. So, and one last thing to know about this song. It's called Golden Records. It's named after the golden record that went into outer space and is off in Voyager 2, I believe it is. It's left the solar system. And Blind Willie Johnson has a song on there. And he died penniless and blind and totally broke and homeless. But he is one of the few people that actually has a song that's left the solar system. So talk about legacy. I think he wins. So the song's called Golden Records. Well, we say we don't deserve it. We say we've been good. Have they seen all our transmissions? Will they treat us like they should? All those SETI boys, their golden records, sending GPS coordinates to anyone who listens. I don't know if they really thought this through, seem to think they know what we ought to do. I don't care. Don't seem to do much good. Maybe someone great can prove our value. A made-up court of crazies where no one has a vote. It doesn't look so good. Calamity, hold on to the wheel. We're headed for our rockets. Take us to our brand new home where we can be alone. I don't care.
been listening to the High Desert Playboys, recorded live in Studio A. Just this reminder, big show on the 28th, a week from tonight, at Tractor Wells Park, to celebrate the release of the new album, Country Songs, for your trip to Mars. And next month, October 6th, at the Mineshaft in Madrid, and on the 27th, Canteen Brewhouse. We'll let the band play us out and hear that little Alien versus Earthling war. Stay tuned for Route 66, coming up next.